Father, we just thank you and we just praise you for this wonderful, this most glorious day. And Lord, you've given us another week to live. And Father God, we thank you that there's a purpose we know according to thy will for each one of us. And Father, you have a reason why we're gathered here this day. Father, we thank you that our steps are ordered by you. And for those you delighteth in their way, and though we shall fall, we shall not be utterly cast down. For the Lord upholdeth us with your mighty hand. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for your all-seeing eye that knows and understands, and whatever the need is, you're the answer. And Father, you're that support, if we can say mechanism, but you are that support that us humans need, that we can totally rely on you. We don't have to be afraid, and we need to learn to rest in your presence and rest in your callings. Rest in your judgment. Rest in your leading. Rest in your counsel. Rest in thy understanding, O Lord. And Father, we just pray for a mighty unction this day for the Holy Spirit from heaven. Father, we pray for the Holy Ghost to be here in a very special, in a very mighty way. And Father, I'm believing for all those angels right in this, that the audience here today. And Father, we just pray, Lord God, that they will be accepted. O Lord, make them feel welcome as us mortals proclaim thy word. And Father, I pray some of this they may not have heard. But Father God, they're here with us as ministering spirits for us to bless us, to help us to cope with life itself, that we don't have to feel like we're alone. You're always with us, but let us recognize also that you send angels to help us, to guide us, to direct us, to support us. And there are ministering spirits sent to minister for the saints. Father, for this day, we pray that we will become saints in thee this day. Lord God, that we'll be more Christ-like, that we'll be more loving, more supportive of thy blessings, more uplifting to the lowly, and Father, more concerned about the cares of the world and the cares of where they're going. And Father, that we're not so concerned about this world, but we're concerned for the people that need you this day. And we will have that righteous caring, that righteous understanding, that righteous faith, believing you're a rewarder to those that diligently seek you. Father, this day in the name of Jesus, we pray that our hearts will be totally immersed in thy presence this day. Father, we pray we come against any thought that's not from you. And we pray to flee from our beings this day. And Father, only the majestic power of the Holy Ghost to be upon us, renew a right spirit within us, take away any ill feelings, anything that will progress and bring darkness. We rid it from, and give it to you right now, take it away from us, to put in the sea of forgetfulness, never to be remembered no more. And Father, we pray for a glorious power, strength upon your people. Lord, they will not be puffed up in the Spirit of God that's on them, but they will be workers of righteousness. And Father, they won't have a greater desire of pride, but Father, they will have a life of love, a concern for their fellow men, and Father, for the neighbor, their friends. Father, they want to be helpers to those that need that special help. And Father, this day we pray for a mighty blessing here today. We pray that you'll heal. We pray that you'll lift us up and put us in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And Father, we thank you for the move of thy mighty Spirit. Father, I thank you for the unction that brings forth the glory of God. And I thank you where your Spirit is, there is liberty. And Father, we thank you for that liberty this day. Father, we pray that we'll not forget those dear people that was caught in that hurricane all that time. We lift up those this day. Father, for those that's facing eternity, we lift them up in Jesus' name. And Father, for those, whatever their need is, we pray for those today. We pray for a mighty army of your angels to guard around those this day. We pray for blessings there, Lord God. But Father, we know it's part of judgment. And Father, the world does not want to hear that, but we know it's right. And Father, you're going to bring, your word says that judgment must begin at the house of God. At first begin at us, such what shall the end of them that believe not? For if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall a sinner and ungodly appear? And Father, this day we know it's a mighty blessing upon your people. But Father, for those who do not have you. What an awesome day and what an awful day, Lord God. They need you. We all need you. And we need you here desperately, Lord God. We cannot make it by ourselves. And our love, we cry out, Lord, we love you. And we draw nigh to you this day. We resist the enemy. We draw nigh to you. We want you. We want to serve you, Lord God. We want to be faithful to you. We want to be pleasing, that our lives will be pleasing thy eyes, O Lord. And Father God, will we lift up that aroma of love toward you, that aroma of faith. And Lord God, you see it within our being that we love you, and we keep your commandments because we love you. And Father, we pray that we'll practice the things that heavenward. And Father, we'll no longer get our hearts down the mully grubs, and we get so out of joint with you, Father God. And Father, if that happens, we pray that you'll forgive us, Father God. Give us that faith, Lord God, that nothing shall come our way only by your Spirit. That we're more than conquerors through you which loved us. And Father, we thank you for thy word. We thank you for the power. We thank you for the strength this day in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. I really believe that we're living in a time when we cannot trust in the things that we see, even as Christians. The things that we see, everything is we see is basically even our churches, even our beings. We're gonna be diminished on this earth. So it's very temporal, us being here today. It's very short-lived. If it be for a couple of days or a year or whatever, that's pretty short compared to eternity. Eternity is forever and ever and without end. It's hard for us to understand that, but that's what God is, without end. And for us being His children, we get that blessing from Him that our life is without end, and there's no end, knows end to the goodness of God. But if we choose to do wrong, the pathway of the unrighteous, they have a pathway forever and ever and ever in the presence of the enemy. And it's going to be a horrible day. It's a time that, as us, I feel for those people. I feel for the unsaved. I feel this week, I have really, my heart, I thought I was going to, I wasn't going to breathe there. And I just felt maybe I was sick. The Lord spoke to my heart, it wasn't just sick. He says, you're feeling what's going to take place. And there's a destiny that's going to come upon this earth. And we choose our destiny. We choose the directions. And we have a lot of bearing on where we're headed. We have our God looks in our hearts as a child. He reads us as a child. He understands us. He knows. He can see us. He can understand what we're thinking. He understands our thoughts, our capabilities. He understands all these. Many times what he's told me that Christians want to obtain is some ministry or some where we need to rest in God. And I listen to people when they pray and all these. And one of the great desires of most Christians, help me to be at the place that I can give you a service. But that's, God is beyond that. We got to come to the place that we're willing to trust in Him without the service. And the service comes as He directs. We may not have a service. He may want us to just praise Him. You know, He has those that just praise Him. Those that love God enough that they will praise Him. They're special people. They're special because they praise their God. So whatever calling that God puts in our life will be the best calling. He will choose the best gifts for us. But we got to come and say, I brought nothing to this world. And when I leave here, I'm going to take, I have nothing to take up. But the Bible says, the next verse, it says, in every state I'm in, to be content. And I'm to be content in everything that goes my way. I'm content if I'm just down here in by myself. I'm content wherever I am. I'm content in Jesus. The enemy is coming in this last days, though, to give us troubles. He's coming as a great whoredom of wrong spirits. And he sees your loyalty to the Lord Jesus Christ. He sees your faithfulness. And he's trying to take that from you however he can. He's a master of understanding. He's seen people all the way up from the foundation of the earth till now. So His ability is beyond anything that we have. We have no refuge. And God showed me right now that one of the greatest tools that He uses is, I can say it here because you're here, the sex and all these, those are the things that bring the men and women down to a devil's hell. And the enemy uses it. That's one, that's rampant. And it's ugly. And all these things, they're what our teenagers or young people, even Christian young people, are looking for. And that's a great milestone from Him because He makes it realistic. It makes it, you know, you pull all your clothes off or so and so. And these are terrible things. But I'm saying us as adults need to realize there's a prayer for us to pray for our young people that we can take it to prayer and say, Lord, you see this among us. We're here to lift up the name of Jesus, Lord, that these false activity will be drawn from your
your people. Because we're not rigid enough in our praying, that we're not taking hold of the grips of heaven, and that's what things are not happening, because us is not in the place to even pray. You want a ministry? God says ministries, there are no ministries unless He ministers. So it has to be. And then I can't even remember, God shared with me something this morning was so beyond, I couldn't imagine it. But I do, it was about us and God. I don't even remember. But I do know that we need God. The greatest achievement we have is being overcomers. Every day of your life, from now until the day that you go home to see Jesus, if you go to the grave, every day to the day that you go through grave or you meet Jesus through the air, you must be an overcomer every day of your life. God cannot use us until we become an overcomer. So we're going to face trials, heartaches, trials, problems, and we got to overcome them. We got to overcome the obstacle of the enemy coming against us, trying to kill, destroy, and steal our victory, trying to steal our life, our commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to steal your love for God. He wants to steal your decision for God that you're not going to fail God. You've got it made up your mind, and nothing's going to be able to take you out of the hands of God. He's trying to cripple us and take away, put desires in our hearts and life that is not by God and not by us. He wants to force us into a place that we're ruined. And He's crippled many, 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 many millions of people. And He is the author, the confuser. He wants to confuse us. And when we pray, that's why we need to be disjointed. Well, I don't know my will. When you start planning out what you're going to do, you automatically become in confusion because you're wanting to do this and God hasn't told you to do it. Really, it's from your heart. And God, when He wants you to do it right, it'll synchronize. His heart will already be in your heart and you will know. You know, I was thinking about this morning when I pray. And I just pray like everybody else prays. But when God says, He says, thus says the Spirit of God, I pray a different way. And that's the way our life is. I'm not boasting myself, but I'm nothing. But God wants to let us realize that when He moves within us, it's mighty. When we move by ourselves, it's just normal. That's a kind statement because it can get worse than that. We can get out of joint and our prayers don't get any higher than our toes. We're out of sync with God and we're there just, and the more farther we go, the more disgruntled we get, and we become very lax in our thinking at that time. Our thinking gets blocked by the enemy, and pretty soon we're sad sacks. We're alienated from the life of God because of the blindness that's in our lives and hearts. We need to have the searchlight from heaven in our hearts day by day, hour by hour, and that's why we need to seek God. We got to seek Him with your whole heart. When you're away from any service, you're going to be seeking God. You're going to say, God, apply what He's given you as work. He's not going to use you unless you apply what you got to what you're doing. You apply it when you go to town. God, what do you want, Lord, through the Spirit of God, and start praying the Spirit. What's your answer? What am I doing? And if you don't hear nothing when you go along, God, you've made all the moves. He said, Lord, can I go? Yes. Is everything going to be okay? Yes. My peace? Yes. But we need to go that avenue. The Bible says, having done all to stand. That's the Word of God. You say, looking for a message? Well, God says, stand, and having done all, stand. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Us people don't want to stand. We don't want to be unmovable. We want to be as chatterboxes and telling great swelling words. The Bible tells in Peter, having great admiration with great swelling words. And they can't even get the answers, what Peter says. They don't know what the answer is, but yet they're out here with big haughtiness in their hearts and lives. And we need to remember, God says, humble thyself. And if we can humble ourselves, God will do a great and mighty work. And Peter also, it says, that we're to have a good spirit, like it says back in the Old Testament, where Sarah had that, and it talks about a quiet spirit. The most precious gift that we can have is a quiet spirit. And God, if you'll stay quiet, He will open the windows of heaven and He will permit you don't have to longer be quiet, but you'll be quiet until He overcomes you. And then through that, then the quietness becomes as a channel from heaven that God can get in your inner being and take over the move from heaven, and you'll be a voice from God. You'll be a child of God. You will live living in liberty, no longer in bondage. You'll live in the supernatural. You'll live in the blessings of heaven. but God wants to get down within us that He is the supreme organizer of our life. He is the organizer of our blessings. He's the keeper. He's a winner. But we got to do it as we surrender. And people don't like the surrendering. They don't like, God, I surrender. We want to be the big shots. And I'm not going to tell all the things that God has, but it's terrible, some of the things that the Lord is telling me about His children and how they strive to compete, how they strive to put down a brother or sister to make themselves look at this and their brother. They put them down where they can say, boy, look at my pastor. He's up here and look at them. When it's not that, we need to humble ourselves that God moves in us with His blessed strength, His holiness. When we learn these basic things, God can do a mighty work within us. And we got to search for Him. We got to seek for Him. We got to look for Him. We got to desire Him more precious than gold. And God sees, I prayed actually 7.5 years, I think, before anything happened. But I was tired of what I had. I wanted more than I had. And I believe we must come down that place that we're tired of being losers. We're tired of having hassles. We're tired of going through troubles because the Bible says, greater is He that's in you. You can tell that old devil to go to the boogerman. That you're not allowed. And we need to take that presence from God that you will detest Him. You'll detest the things of our unrighteousness. And you love righteousness. You love good things. You love, peace, joy, goodness, meekness, temperance, patience, godliness, charity. Blessings from on high, because our minds and our bodies was not able and made to move in evilness. This body doesn't function. Our blood pressure goes up. Our nerves get on edge. And this body wasn't made to put in with an alcohol substance that you don't know, or does not pertain to us, but I'm saying the world, this is what they have. And the weekends they have great intoxications. They're intoxicated by the devil. They're intoxicated by the things of the devil. And this puts them in a place that's easy for the enemy to come against them. But the enemy is not concerned with them. He's concerned with people like us. So that's why you got to stay in right standing with God. You cannot make it in a second without God. You've got to say, Lord, I'm just a bunch of old kindling. One strike of match will just blow by. It'll blow my circuit. It'll burn me up. And that's we, our strength. We're just made out of tissue paper. And with God, He takes this tissue paper and He says, great, I see that as a mighty, rigid, steel, heavy-armed person. But you can, if you move out of that position, you'll fall like you was soup. Just fall. There's no support in you. How you take water and it won't stay rigid unless it's frozen. And while we're on that subject, God has spoken to me that that's why many people that have known Him, and they get cold in their experience. And this is what people that are have once been charismatic, they've had a love of God, they're not careful, they get cold. And that coldness, their beliefs get hardened. And pretty soon that hardness gives them a religious spirit. And they want to do well. Their mind says they do well, but everything else has failed them. So they're working on, in the mind area at this time, what they need to be set free and have a new makeover. But they're ashamed of that. They're ashamed of where they're going. And this shameless, that brings them down to a place of many times of non-return. Can't turn around. Can't find a place of quitting, of maybe forsaking some evil thought, something that's brought them down to that place. It's ruined their lives. We need to pray for these ones with a fervent prayer. Lord God, that we feel for them. We understand that. We know that they need forgiveness. And we know we pray appropriately for each one of these that they will no longer slander the gift that God has put in. But they will be an overcomer, achiever from heaven. We have a lot of things to pray about. We got a lot of things to seek God about. There's a mighty ministry that most people don't want to do it because they can't be seen. See, and I took one of these that I didn't want to be seen. But if you'll take the ones that's not seen, God will reward you openly. That's what it says. But if you want to be blessed, you go in your inner closet and God will bless you openly. That's what the Word says. If you want a ministry, God will bless you as you become that surrender. And that's what God is more concerned about, is our surrender, our ability to say, Lord, I am nothing. I'm just kindling. I'm a bunch of nothing. But with that nothing, God can produce a great monument of God, a blessing of God. And you know that what's in you is not, there's no chemistry that's in you that's able to cope with what you're facing. There's nothing within you that can stand against the pressures you'll face. But with God in you, you're more than conquerors. And that's what it means. You're more than conquerors because He is your support. He is the chemistry in you. Doesn't make size concrete. It doesn't make steel. It makes the opposite. It makes flimsiness. Whatever it is, it falls apart. That's us. We fall at any wind of doctrine. We fall at all things. And we need the presence of God. And we need to realize that we're as that one that needs to rely on a living God. And most people can't understand what I'm saying, but it's reality. We must realize that our lives are flimsy without God. There's no support. We need God in everything that we do. And see, God will never force Himself on you or me. He will not force that every day of our life. We have to seek ye the Lord every day. We got to call upon Him every day, and we have to make things right ourselves. That is mandatory. God just, one time He does that. He comes down when you're first saved, and He just bathes you and loves you. But there's times you must grow up. And that growing up's a little hard because you've got to force your body to come in alignment with God. You have to force yourself. Oh man, search, call on God today. He says, I don't want to call upon Him. You've got to call upon Him. No, I don't want to. And then becomes this war and it comes in your mind. You said, one voice said, you need to call God. The other says, no, I don't wish to. And this is the truth. This is what happens to us. We wish not to do what God wants us to do. And there's a voice in it that says, you need to serve God. The other voice says, oh, just forget about it. You know, you're okay. You know, your pastor thinks you're really wonderful. And your brothers and sisters think you're wonderful. But it's not what anyone thinks. It's what God thinks. It's what we think. We know. We read ourselves very well. We know where we are. We're a hiss many times. We're not straight with ourselves. We're crooked. We're adulterous generation of people that's walking in the liberty of the enemy. Our focus is not on our reality of heaven. Our focus is on the cares of this world. The Bible says that's why we must come out from among this world and be separate. Because when our focus gets on the things of corruption, it has a way of bringing us down to that degree that we can stop praying. We can't pray with the efficiency that God wants us to. We got to keep our eyes totally on Jesus. Our bodies are not made to look at everything that's sin. Our bodies are not, God doesn't look at it, and we should not either. The only way that God sees us is through the blood of Jesus Christ. He only sees us through the blood. He cannot look as God's children. We got to do the same as Him. Father God can, but what He doesn't, they're got a decision for hell, eternal hell. So we as God's people need to learn this. We no longer, we might for a fraction of a second look at something, but help me, I lift my eyes to the hills. Whence come my help? We got to keep our minds, and we got to keep this to heart. And God gave a message this morning, I don't remember what it was, but I know He says, my pastors and my leaders are speaking, but not from my heart. I remember that. I didn't remember it. He says, they're not speaking from my heart. God, You speak through me. And I have no reservations. I don't know what I'm saying. But God has a purpose and a direction for the mighty God of God at heaven that will disturb the heavenlies. We have a power within us can disturb the heavenlies. That means that you can focus in by God and great things will happen. A wonderful, powerful, glorious, but God is going to change things because of His saints that will call upon His name and act in the behalf of God the Father, God the Son, and they shall do great and mighty exploits. The Word tells it in Daniel. They will do great and mighty exploits, and that's how it's done. The unnatural man receives not the things. These preachers, the natural things, what they're saying is not going to really come to pass. What's going to come to pass? That this earth, United States, is going to fall apart very soon. And these things that they prophesied is not coming to pass. All these great splendors, they told their congregation, you'll come and sit in our ministry, you'll see great and mighty. Most of these things will not come to pass. But what God said, my coming is soon. It's going to come to pass. And you need to prepare for eternity. You must prepare now. And don't let nobody deceive you. There's great deceivers that's bringing deception to God's people, and it's bringing a cross to the direction of God's people. There's God's people that say, I want more of you, but where they're going, they hear another side says, you don't have to do this. We're going to have a mighty people. We're going to be great. And then the other side is saying, do this. God's coming back. Which has happened. There's a warring that's going on the people, and there's many, many people in this way. God has shown me there's many, many people going through the valley of despair, of indecision, not being able, because God is very clear. It comes through the Spirit of God, and the anointing comes to break the yoke of bondage, to set us free, that we'll no longer be entangled with the yoke of bondage. We will have a direct heart for God, that we want to serve Him, and our whole being is want to please Him, that we will please Him. We want to please my God. I want to be faithful, my God. I want to live for Him. I want to walk in His blessing. I want to walk by His course. I want to walk. I want to have my focus on the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember when God spoke to me about 2 years ago and says, oh, you need to focus yourself on me. Again, and I says, Lord, focus. I don't read. And pretty soon the Lord spoke to me again. And the next thing I knew, I was right behind. I focused forward. And Lord, I said, Lord, you're wonderful. God, I never even knew that go forward made a focus. But God, I see. I've never forgotten that. That experience, I mean, I've seen it right, like neon lights. God wants to focus in our hearts and lives that we know what focus means. It's getting your eyes on God, and nothing can take your eyes off of Him. Nothing. Peter could walk on the water as long as he was focused on Jesus. His focus had to be not looking at things in the scene, not looking the cares of this world, but as long as he kept his eyes on his Savior, when he kept his eyes on Jesus, the righteous one, when he kept his eyes on the one that was going to be that perfect sacrifice, and he had his eyes on the Master, the one that fed the multitudes, this blessed one that brought healing to God's people, this one, as long as glory, as long as Peter kept that in his heart, he could walk on the water, but as soon as he took his eyes off, he was too, his body could not cope with what he faced. Then he seen the angry waves. Then he was sunk. And Jesus had to retain him. Jesus had to pick him up because he was not capable of keeping his eyes on his Savior. And that's what happens. That's really life itself. We're here in this last days, and God is giving to us, offering us a special blessing. It's never been given for the foundation of this world. God's got a remnant of people, and those that will be ready and want to seek God and call upon His name, God is going to give you an inheritance, and you'll miss tragedy that's going to come upon this earth. Very surely and very truly, it's coming on planet Earth. The water is heating up because of thermal heat or whatever takes place. But all these problems are taken forth, and there's going to be great hindrance, terribleness in this United States. And I believe what I see, the United States could be bankrupt very shortly. If you put two or three more harvest things like taking place now, God has shown me it'll cripple this nation down, that we, no one will even want to look at us. We haven't got nothing to brag about. God is the reason. God is the one. God is our support. He is the reason. Everybody's put our God down, that we just order Him around. We call upon Him, and He just comes up like the Calvary, and He takes care of you when you call Him. I'm so close to God that I can just call upon Him, and He will stop what He's doing in heaven. He'll just come down to where we live, and He'll just take care of you because of me. That's from hell. That's what the enemy would want us to believe. I'm saying this kindly. We need to realize that we got great resources. We have great resources. And those resources is in the living God. God is faithful. He will supply you with every need, every blessing. He will give you a life, an inheritance that fades not away. And He will give you an insight on heaven. And He let this mind be in you, which is in Christ Jesus. He will renew your mind and put a right spirit within you. He will take away the old stony man, the old heart of flesh, and kindle in the blessing of God, that He might resume a righteous man, a righteous lady in the presence of God, that no longer you'll be around struggling through the cares of this world, but you will be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive conceive you, and I shall be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, said the Lord Almighty. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us therefore cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of flesh, perfected holiness in the fear of God. God is not slack concerning His promise. Some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish. As He says, that many in that day will say, where is the promise of this coming? Many in this day are saying, where is the... I even hear the clergy. I heard one on TV that says, well, you know, we got probably at least 1,000, 2,000 years. We don't, you know, and I thought, you're very simple. And I said that kind. I didn't tell nobody who his name was. I didn't run him down. I believe that God is gone. And I believe that God moves by His mighty Spirit. And I believe we grow in Him. It didn't come overnight. But those who'll pay the price, God's going to show great and mighty things in this last hour. Because God is going to have an army. And an army is those that do not cost their own self as any. They withhold, not they're not withholding their body from anything, but they're giving their body totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. That we might be a blessing. Paul said about that we might be soldiers of the Most High. That we might be able to, you know, a soldier does not take any thought of his life. He doesn't take any thought when he's going home. That's why I didn't want to stay in the military, because I got married and I sort of liked it in there. But the problem was, I liked married life too. But a soldier has to be able to leave land, country, and if it has to be, give his life for this country. We're the same way. God is saying, take no thought of tomorrow, and doing so is the evil thereof. We're to take, give God, honor Him with our sacrifice. That's, Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, which is holy, acceptable, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God is not slack concerning His promises. But as long-suffering us, we're not willing any should perish, but all should come to repentance. You know, another thing that I've seen, and it's nice to feel the presence of God, but when you don't feel nothing, shouldn't be moved either. Nothing's happening. I am not, I can't go by what I feel. I don't go by what I see. I go on faith. Not by sight, but I go by faith. I go by, I will look not the things of the seen, but I'll look for the things. So we can't go, if we go by what we're feeling, we may get very seriously injured. And I believe that many of God's people, we go places. You know, when I found this out, just going to some football games and basketball games, those things that I really didn't care. But people there get really joyful. They get really charismatic. And probably even beat some of the, from our people that go to church. I mean, boy, they're really hurrahing. So there is something. Pleasure brings something that brings excitement to this heart, this life. And it has a way of separating us from the true and living God. And this warfare has been going on a long time. So we as charismatic people, we want to be blessed. We want to have rock, whatever it takes. But we need to be permanently set with God. And I'm not going to move. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abound in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. My God has got something wonderful for me. I may have to stand and go through tribulation, whatever it be, but I've set my eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. Nothing shall be able to move me. We're more than conquerors through Him which loveth. We're triumphant in Jesus. We're triumphant. Triumphant. And if we try, God will give us the ump. We're more than conquerors through Him which loveth us. And we have to learn not to walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Our faith in the Lord. God moves with His Spirit, and it's really wonderful when He moves through His Spirit. But I'm wondering, many people, when they hear God move through the Spirit, how many times they really retain what they're hearing. And that has to be a very positive note, that God wants us to take heed to things that we've heard, lest any time we will let them slip. We're all accountable to what we hear. And I really believe there's going to be a prize over there that's going to be on, going to be better than anything that we can ever imagine. There's a prize that's beyond, the Bible says, but it's written, I have not seen. I have not seen. Think about that. I have not seen. Neither ear heard. Neither ear heard. Neither has entered the heart of man, of woman, all of us, the things that are prepared for them that love God. We can't imagine. And God is very wonderful. So if He has any, which we know He is, He has something beyond all splendor, all the highest, like these places that bring fun joints, I guess, that bring great throngs of people go in for, like Las Vegas and all these places, lights and all these things. God has got something beyond any imagination of any man. And I believe very shortly, God's going to bring this all back together. And I don't want to scare no one, but I believe it's the most special time that you'll ever have. But there's going to be a remnant that's going to be left. And this, in Revelation, it talks clearly what's going to take place. And I'm too much of a chicken, I guess. I went through Korea, and I don't really think I want to see it when it gets that tough, when you know that maybe this is the last moment you got. It's hard on you when you know maybe that's for me, and you're not going to make it. But we don't have to live in that. The Bible says God has not given the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. When we have fear, the Bible says that our faith is not made perfect in us. Where there's fear, there's things that's not correct within us. So we should so trust God. We don't trust in what we see. We trust Him because who He is. We trust Him because He said He'd never leave us. We trust Him because He is the Almighty God. He has prepared for us the eternal home. Jesus said He's preparing for us. Let not your heart be troubled, neither believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. It says the city four square is 1,500 miles high, 1,500 miles wide, and that's a big, big hotel. I mean, that's a big place. That's big. And the streets are pure gold. I mean, transparent. You can see. You mean it's just glorious. And I guess they don't even need the spot. They just must glitter. The power and the things that God has prepared for us is beyond our understanding. We live in a time now, in a realm when we choose. We're sort of like a caterpillar and a butterfly. You know, a caterpillar, they runs around in little, these furry little things. But I've been up Mount Shasta in the springtime, those things that run around on the ground, all that, covered over all the bushes, pretty soon they become butterflies. And the butterflies are so thick up there that you can just see it's God's handiwork. And that's the way we are. We come as a ugly caterpillar. But God transforms us in the image of His dear Son, that we might have redemption through the power of Jesus Christ, that He might offer us as a eternal life, a security in Him. And we don't even have to know. We just have to trust. You know, that's what's so good about it. I don't know, but all I have to do is trust. Trust and obey. There's no other way. And lean not in our own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct our paths. That's sort of the hard steps. And we take them as so hard. Most of us say, well, we can't do those things. But basically, that's what God is requiring. We'll lean on Him. We're to lean on the Lord. We're to trust Him. Believe that He is a rewarder to those that diligently seek Him. To call on me, and He said, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things that you know not. In the time of Jeremiah 33:3, he was in a real sinkhole, a terrible place. And Jeremiah was saying that, in this terrible place, call unto me and I will answer thee and show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. Jeremiah wasn't looking at where he was in. He knew that was only for a moment. That was temporal. But he had a eternal home that was going to live on for the countless ages. Jeremiah had a hope. It's not here, people. It's beyond this. It's coming through Jesus. It's like in Egypt over there. I heard about this. People over there, they said there's Christians, and there they have to take a mark right now in their arms. And they take a knife and cut a T. And the Christians, but in Egypt, you can't have any job, you can't have new anything because of the Muslims. So they're all, the Christians are, the only place they have is a home is out in the garbage dump. And they tell you that their hope is not in this world. Do you think, the Lord has been sharing with me that how many, many people that love Him have nothing? We have so much and we don't really serve Him. We think, well, we gotta have this, we gotta have the fine pews, we gotta have the great orchestras, we gotta have all the great things that we call as great, but I think most of us for not. We need to know Jesus. We need to know the power of the resurrection of a spirit. I'd like to read something in closing. I'm not very good at
reading, but I just feel this was so necessary. Philippians 3:12. Not as though I have already attained. That's really it. We haven't attained. Either we're already perfect. We weren't already perfect. God's rearranging our lives. But I follow after, that I may apprehend that for which also I have apprehended of Christ Jesus. Through Jesus, He makes us more than conquerors. Through the name of Jesus, He made a way that we can escape the rudiments of this world, the hardness that we, the things that we can't handle. He's made a way. Jesus says it's needful if I go away. For if I go away, I will send the Comforter. But if the Comforter, if I don't go away, the Comforter cannot come. So when Jesus rose and ascended to God the Father, God sent the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God that remains in us. And we have that Comforter, the one from heaven. The Bible says He is the God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we might be able to help those in any troubles by the comfort where we are comforted of by God. God comforts us for the time He is. We are able to comfort our brother. That shows what God has. As we get comfort, we want to help someone else. We want to bless someone else. We lose this blessing unless we give it out to others. So as we give out, the more God puts in. Brethren, I count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting the things which are behind and reaching forth unto the things which are before. That's what we do. We're to forget. We know, the Bible says, he that looketh back from the plow is not worthy for the kingdom of heaven. We're to have our eyes fastened on Jesus Christ. You know, in the army, if you ever go to march, you watch the right guard on the front. But you always watch. They're the tall in front and the short ones like me in the rear. But you always follow. And that's what God said, follow. You see, Jesus, He's the leader. He is our righteousness. He is our way maker. We're to follow no other. I press before the mark, the prize, the high calling of God, Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be this minded. And if in anything ye otherwise minded, God shall reveal even as unto you. Nevertheless, we were already obtained. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. God wants us to take very serious what we're doing serious, very understanding that God moves. You know, in the military, if you didn't take the army very serious, you'd probably be court-martialed for many days. Wouldn't even probably make very long, because you've got to keep what we call commandments, but there they call it orders. You got to keep the orders. You got to do what someone's telling you to do. And you can't argue with them. You just do it as what, and that's the same way God is. If you don't want to do it, then God doesn't force you. So people are filled with the Spirit of God when they say, won't want to do it, they start losing. And those people pretty soon get very distant from God. And those people, they want to tell people they're full of the Spirit, but they're not. They're enemies because they won't listen to God. It's very, we really see that they parallel. In the army, they tell you when to get up, when to sit down. They tell you to do everything. You be it in Korea, you're in Korea. If you're in Japan, you're in Japan. Wherever you are, you're in their control. And that's the way God is. We need to be led by the Spirit. We don't choose where He wants us to be. We follow Him. You know, people don't like to understand this, but it's very easy. Where He leads me, I'll follow. And the Lord spoke to me again this yesterday. He says, you know, I'm getting tired of my people telling me what to do, and they'll never do what I want them to. That's not even fair. That's not even fair. That's not polite. That's what we do. We say, Lord, I want this, I want this, I want this. But all the times God says, well, I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to love me more, and I want you to seek my face. When we said, I didn't even hear that. So you put it off as nothing, and God keeps coming your way, and pretty soon you harden yourself, and pretty soon you don't have that first love. You don't have that first attire that you had when you first met Jesus. And when we put anybody off, our hearts have a way of hardening, and it's proven, if you let an animal, train an animal where they can get by with certain things, pretty soon they will get by with those things. Because they think they can get by with it. We as God's people, if we think we can get by with something, many times we do it.
because of lackness within our, that we're not serving God from the love of God. We're serving as duty of God. We're serving because we have to serve Him. We think we have to serve Him. But God says, be followers of God as dear children. And a child needs the support of a parent. And God is the parent. God is the leader. God is here to bless us. God is the one that writes rules. And the Bible says, can the clay tell the potter what to do? Basically, we have no right. He's making us after His image. He's trying to bring the defects out. I worked in equipment, and most everything that is made by men has a defect. 14A D8 caterpillars had a defect that many others didn't have. And certain machines have defects, and they're usable, but they're still a problem. Now and then they give problems. And sometimes God works with our defects, but sometimes that's when we got to work hard in certain areas. We don't lose our temper, that we have a lustful spirit. We have a wanting eye. We want to look at the things that we shouldn't see. We have that desires there. And God reads us very well. He understands when we've did things that were not really supportive to His call. But I say to my people, be not afraid in this last days, because I said, many shall say great things are going to come to pass. But I say, no man knows the hour. No man knows how long things will go. And that's why my people need the leadership of the Holy One within them. Because I say, no one knows that hour on the Father only. But I say that season, that time is at hand to be prepared. And I say, trust not in the things that you see. For I say, the things that you see will all vacate itself in a time that's allotted for that to take place. I say, thou can buy a new product. And I say, before many years, that product is rusted out. That product that you have, that house, that whatever you buy, at a time will decay. At a time that will no longer be a vessel of praise. And I say, that is life itself. But I say, my word declares, lay not for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break in and steal. But I say, rather, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break and steal. For where your treasure is, there shall your heart be also. I say, my people are many wandering in the time. They're wandering out in the desert this time. And I say, many, many, many that have known me are finding themselves and a condition of walking in without my leadership. They've forgotten the way. But I'm here to restore those ones. I'm here to bless those ones. For I have a love toward my people. And I say, as long as I have a time for my people, as long as they're living, I will have a desire for them to make heaven as their home. I have a desire for all mankind, all people upon earth, to make heaven their home. But everyone must choose. They must be desirous of this wonderful blessing. And I say, my people need to be desirous of what I have for them. I have a plan for everyone. And my plan is for them to live the remainder of their life in the fullness while they're here. And when I take them home, they will have an eternal home. They will have a place beyond splendor. And they shall live luxuriously in that heavenly home beyond imagination of anyone. And they will live in my presence. And they will walk in my presence. But I say, from the time that thou hast born to the time that I shall take you home, is a time when thou must take great thought about thy life. Thou must desire to live for the Lord thy God. Thou must desire to do His will. Thou must take time to pray. They must take time to call on my name. And my people must take heed to things that they had heard, lest any time they should let them slip. I say there's a portion of time that men must seek me, that women must seek me, that boys and girls must seek me. For I'm here to help my people. I'm here not to cripple my people or come against them, but I want to make them a blessing. I want to use them while they're here upon this earth, that they will bless their brother, their sister. They will walk not fulfilling the flesh, lust of the flesh no longer, but they will walk in the leadership of the Spirit, and they will walk in the blessings from heaven. They will walk victoriously. They will walk for the supervision of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And they will walk in liberty, and they will walk being blessed, and they will feel and sense the things from God as their way maker, and they will be able to be to help those round about, able to help those one that's down, that one that's living below their what they were called to be living in. Many have lost the way, and now as those who are able to comfort those ones, to bless those ones, that they might inspire them to walk a degree higher, to walk in a place that they might seek the Lord, that they might not lose the path no longer, that they would walk in victory, serving their God that they love. Seek my face and my people. Seek me this day, and ye shall find me. Be not afraid, for I shall go with thee.